Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, this is George Gamond, and it's the Friday show. How is everybody today? You doing well? You having some fun? It's the weekend. Are you going to have some fun this weekend? Do anything special? Yeah, have some fun. Well, the show is about, well, I call it doing nothing, but the brain never does nothing. The brain's always doing something, the mind, the brain, whatever you want to call it. But today's show is kind of a carryover from yesterday's show, and I didn't get into depth into yesterday's show, which I wanted to talk about. You know, there's and I see I have a caller, and I'll be with you in a minute. So that's what we're talking about today, is inspiring you to reach the highest levels of your own life, to inspire you to live your purpose, and to be the most creative that you possibly can be. So that's what we're going to, well, this theme kind of wraps around that whole concept of being idle. You know, there used to be an expression, I'll take the call in a minute, but there's an expression, idle hands are the devil's workshop. And that there's nothing more wrong than that. Now, being totally idle and totally lazy, never doing anything is one thing. But what we're talking about here is periods of time of doing nothing. And the phrase I like for that is, idle hands are the universe's playground. And we'll get into more about that in the idea that this is based on the scientific concepts about being idle, letting the brain be idle. And actually, when the brain is idle, when it's not trying to multitask, when it's not trying to just focus, and when your brain is not being distracted by Facebook pages and Instagram, you know, and everything else that goes on around us and the evening news and the political things, when you're not trying to focus on all this stuff, that's when the brain is idle, but also it's the most creative. So that's when the universe or your higher consciousness or your consciousness gets to work and do some creative stuff. So we'll have I have a couple articles on that, so we'll get into that. I think it's a really fascinating subject. I kind of learned that principle, very similar principle, about over 30 years ago in business books on how to be the most creative in your life. So we'll talk about that. So that's what the show is about, being more creative by doing very little. And I'm just thinking about this concept. And, you know, I teach meditation, and that's what I like to do. Teaching meditation or leading meditations is one of my favorite things to do, because being a clinical hypnotherapist, I found out that meditation is just as effective as hypnosis in making changes and ridding yourself of old beliefs that aren't working anymore and just kind of reprogramming the brain, the consciousness. So I'm working on a meditation. Maybe we'll do a little bit of it today. A little bit on a meditation based on idleness, based on allowing the mind, the brain, to be more creative. So I'll take a call. So you know where we're going today. We're going about creativity. We're going about being open your consciousness, raising yourself up the highest consciousness possible. Okay, so take the call based on that theme. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Michelle. How are you?
Hi, Michelle. I'm doing very well. So you understand the theme today, what we're talking about, being idle, not doing anything.
Yeah.
So what's going on with you?
I don't know about the being idle. I think I'm more, I'm not clear. Do you mean when you're saying by being idle, do you mean like by tapping into you're saying meditation to reach your goals instead of like letting ego do it?
Well, let me put it this way. And it's a scientific concept as much as it is a spiritual concept. Okay. And I have an article, okay, which I'll get into in a couple of minutes. So basically, scientists have found out when our brain is hyperactive, doing things, looking at Facebook, doing this, doing tasks, trying to physically solve problems, that right. our brain in that idle state is the most creative. Actually, it gets more blood to the brain when you're not doing anything. And that's when you have the aha moments. So I learned in a business book many, many years ago that this whole concept of tapping into the higher consciousness, tapping into the universe, the worst place to get creative ideas is at the desk, at work.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
And they recommended, like, if you have a problem, it's part of it's problem solving. So if you have a problem and you don't have a solution, go do something that's fun. You know, they, you know, this is being a business book. They tell you, well, go play golf. Go take a bath.
Yeah.
Go play with your dog.
Right.
So it was like, it gives your consciousness the idea to open up to the universe for new ideas, new solutions. Solutions are hardly ever come when you're working hard on a solution. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, so it really does. For me, it's like in the shower a lot.
See, that's what they're talking about. Yeah, a lot of people, it is in the shower. In the shower, mm-hmm. doing those little things that you don't have to focus and concentrate on. Okay, I get it from washing dishes. I don't wash. I use a dishwasher, but you know what I mean?
Say, I'm doing now, the dishes you, right now while I'm talking to you. It's so funny because I was going to just say that too.
So it's an escape time. You know, and that's where we get our mm-hmm. ahas. The universe talks to us and goes, okay, you should be doing this. You got a problem. Here's your solution. Okay?
Yeah, I agree.
Did you have a question? Because that's what the theme is about, is just letting go. So when I'm thinking about a meditation on this, because I've been teaching meditation for a long time, is that mm-hmm. we need a meditation that doesn't overly have you do stuff. You know, some guided meditations have you do a bunch of stuff, right? Doing this, doing blah, blah, blah. But I'm thinking more about some of the meditations where you lead somebody to, you might want to try this yourself, go to your happy place, whatever that is, to the beach, a lake, the forest, just putting yourself in a really quiet, meditative place. Now, you can do this outdoors. You can just sit and stare at a tree. That's quiet time. And just study the tree, and don't think about it. Don't try to overanalyze the tree. But so a meditation where you take yourself and you just sit quietly in your meditation, because when you get into meditation, what it does is takes you into a subconscious place. Okay, slows the brain waves down, gets you into a subconscious place, and then if you're not overthinking during it, you leave yourself open to receive. And that's the whole idea of this whole thing, is to receive, to get those aha, I got it, I know what I'm going to do. You have a problem, the universe will drop in a solution as long as you're not too busy to hear it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I also paint, and I think that's another time when I'm painting that those moments come to me too, because I'm like just painting, you know.
Yeah, because you're channeling. When you're painting, a great creative person, they're really channeling what they do. A musician is channeling.
Yeah, me too. That totally, because sometimes afterwards I'm like, dang, did I do that? Like, I can't even believe I did it.
Yeah, my ex-wife was like that. She was a fine artist, and she would come out, you know, like paint for a half hour or an hour, and she'd look at it going, wow, you know, like, oh, I'm out of trance now. So we're in alignment here, which is cool. So do you have a question, or are we just you'd like to just share?
I guess I've been trying, and like more like the law of attraction as far as finding a relationship and going up in my career. And
okay, well let me
you started talking
I read a lot about that, and I try to tap in and I channel on that too. And one of the things that when you're asking the universe for something, God, universe, source, whatever you're asking for, pay attention to your words, right? What are you asking for? Pay attention to your words. But my attitude is, from what all of that I know about this, you got to pay attention to your emotions more than your words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because
that's true.
If you're asking for a boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever it is, and you're feeling kind of negative about the situation, I'll never get anybody, oh, it's work, oh, universe, bring me somebody. It never happens. You really restrict the flow when you're using a negative vibration to try to do it. If you're in a negative emotional state while you're asking, you negate the question, the asking.
Yep.
So your emotions have to be in alignment. So that's one of the things I try to advise people is be very careful about your emotions. You know, the worst time to ask is when you're depressed.
For sure. Yeah, it is. It is.
So you have to find yourself in a good place. A happy place.
Right.
You get yourself in your happy place and then ask.
Okay. I think I am.
Try that.
I feel like I'm in a good place. So.
Okay. So then there shouldn't be any issue. Now, some of it's timing and, you know, the law of attraction talks about the cooperative components. If it isn't happening right in the moment, near future, a lot of times it's that person's not ready. You don't want to bring the wrong person in. You don't want to bring the wrong person in.
No. Been there, done that.
Okay, here's another little thing that you can do, which I found out recently, and I think it's really kind of a cool thing, and I think it works really well. When you're asking, ask for bringing somebody into your life as a partner who is at a vibrational match with you. Okay?
Oh, I like that. Okay.
I've talked a little bit about that we make contracts with people before we come here to do certain things.
Yes.
So you've made a contract with somebody to be in your life as a partner.
Mm-hmm.
We all have.
Right.
So you're asking the universe, you know, I'm ready for that person I've made a contract with to come in my life. I'm ready. Send them to me. I made a contract with somebody. So send them to me. Because usually that person you've made a contract, you're in vibrational match with anyway. It's like a soulmate or whatever you call it. Okay? So try that.
Ask the
universe, bring me the person or persons, you know, these general, sometimes there's more than one, which is kind of like overwhelming. You meet somebody and then you meet about two other people within a day or two. It's like, really?
Yeah,
That's actually
what's happening to me right now. And I'm freaking out because I actually have a date tonight and I have one tomorrow and I'm talking to someone else and I'm kind of freaking out. So.
Well, now you get to just test the vibration of it. You know, who has the best vibration for you? Where's the best alignment? So you get choices. The universe is giving you choices. You should be celebrating your choices.
That's true. Okay.
How
should I look into that?
Same thing. Well, you can also visualize yourself at work. It feels good. What do you want to do for a living? Start visualizing yourself in the future doing what you want to do.
Okay. I'm just looking for a promotion right now in the same place.
Well,
same thing.
I don't
know
which
office
yourself.
It would be. I wouldn't know. Okay.
Visualize yourself in the job that you want, at the desk that you want to be at, you know, working with the people that you want to work with. Make sure it feels good, though. If it starts to get negative and kind of go general as possible, if it starts to feel a little weird and negative. Okay? Got it? I'm going to move on.
Okay. I will.
You'll get it.
Thank you so
You'll get
much.
It. Absolutely. You're in alignment. You'll get it. Okay? Be well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh,
a dog. Okay. Somebody else. Okay. I don't want to take a lot. I really want to jump into this topic. It's only a half hour show, so I'll make calls a little brief because I want to get into this thing about the brain and the mind and how it works and how being idle is a real advantage to us and get a little bit into the science behind it, not just spirituality. Okay. So another caller. Hello.
Hi there. How are you doing today?
Fine. How are you? Who am I speaking to?
I got about a minute
and I need to jump into this discussion about just being idle, the advantage of it.
Sure. So my question was, just curious to see if you see my current roommate moving out.
Well, you're visualizing it? Visualize it. You know, visualize it. Yeah, it'll happen. Just visualize it. You want somebody else, though. Now, sometimes you have to visualize the replacement. You want to just completely get rid of a roommate, or you want a new one?
I mean, I can do either or. I can afford her room. So, I mean, I literally just want her out. So I was just trying to see if that was possible, if that was going to happen for her to move.
You just have to make it, you have to create the environment for it to happen. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Okay.
Okay.
You will. Okay. Be well.
Okay.
I apologize that I'm not really, I'm trying to avoid doing predictions per se with this show, because it's really about how to do it versus when it's going to happen, because everything is possible. You know, if you want somebody out, of course, you have to create the environment, create the scenario for it to happen, and it will happen. Ask the universe. And you can do little things to drive people crazy, but we won't get into that. You know, smudge the room, call a time, get some sage out and always smudge that room to clean out the energy. They're going, no, don't do that. Yeah, really, seriously, you know. Feng shui the place a little bit more. I watched an article. No, we won't go there. We're going to talk about being idle. But I watched this really cool about this new this town or city they built in China. And they built a whole city around feng shui. So the buildings and how it flows from the lake. And it was just really a cool way of designing a city so that the energy would flow through the city. Positive energy would flow through the city. No surprise, China. That's interesting. How many cities do you know that have redesigned or designed the layout of the city so that the positive energy could flow through from one end of the city to the other and through the buildings? And they created spaces between the buildings, or they built a buildings with a space between the two layers of the building so that the energy would flow through, the water energy would flow through the city. It was kind of a cool thing. So think about that. Feng shui can be very effective because you want to create a positive energy flow in wherever you're living. You want to create an energy so that, you know, they talk about the back door and the front door and the energy flowing through the house, and there should be a clear path for energy to flow through your house. Think about that. You can open the back and the front. There's not a blockage of energy. That's one thing you think about in your house. When you're going to buy a house or rent a new place, think about the back and the front and how you can get a really cool airflow through the building. Okay, that's off the topic. So let's get back to our idleness. See, that's the creativity. If you're being idle and you're not really focused, then those things come to you and you go, ah. Well, this is from Forbes magazine, believe it or not. It's a business kind of thing, right? And it's about your brain unplugged, proof that spacing out makes you more effective. See, this justifies my just kind of zoning out from time to time, right? Justifies it. And the author, they based it on the author of Andrew Smart, who wrote the book Autopilot, The Art and Science of Doing Nothing. I got to buy that book and read it. I'm just taking excerpts. Sound like what's his name right now. Neurologist Marcus Roche found that when subjects perform specific tasks, activity in the brain regions like the hippocampus, medial prefrontal cortex, and others were suppressed. This is an odd conclusion. Decided to test further subjects that didn't give them a specific task to complete. Now, let me go back through that blah, blah, blah stuff and say that these people were given tasks to do. And they found that these regions of the brain were suppressed. They weren't getting the blood flow. See, the brain where activity is measured by blood flow, how oxygenated blood is going to specific areas of the brain. Okay, I got to start all over by just, you know, what's going on with me today? Okay, the result was that they weren't given a specific task. The result was the exact same regions that deactivated during concentration become superactive when not forced on a specific task. So you can see where multitasking can drive you crazy because you're doing this and you're doing that and you're trying to do this and you're trying to do that. You have like five different projects going on at the same time and you're switching back and forth. So your whole concentration is on something now, which is necessary in some cases, right? Maybe when you're changing a tire, a flat tire, maybe you need to focus on changing that flat tire, right? I don't know why I threw that one out there, but you know what I mean. You're ironing something. You want to focus on what you're ironing. Or if you're doing something like lighting a fire, you want to focus on the lighting of the fire. This is not the time to kind of space out. So, but this means increased blood flow in your brain. This means a healthier, happy, more creative brain. In neuroscience, this network of brain regions that become so active during idleness is referred to the DMN, default mode network, or the resting state network, all these little terminology. So what happens when you do this? Let me get back to that. Your brain has an autopilot. Your brain, much like an airplane, has an autopilot, which when we enter in with resting or relinquishing manual controls, the autopilot knows where you really want to go and what you really want to do. Now, from a spiritual place, this kind of means you're turning it over to your subconscious, your higher consciousness. You say, okay, I'm going to give this 20 minutes to my higher consciousness to be creative, to come up with solutions. And I really think in terms of solutions or tasks or ideas or creative activities are really best at this particular time. You know, sometimes it works really well when you're sleeping. People come up with great design ideas when they're sleeping, right? So putting yourself in autopilot is basically essential. So they say idleness is essential. Idleness isn't a luxury, but rather a necessity or in order to be at your peak. It's backed by neuroscience. Idleness truly makes your brain function better. It is explained that this motivation for motivating his book, Idle Energy Smart, was to outline the idea that the brain is very active during idleness, just in a different way. Okay? And he mentioned that if idleness while asleep, when you go to sleep, you build up this. So you need sleep. Sleep is probably the time when your brain is most idle because you're not working on your certain tasks. And you get great dreams, and your dreams go, aha, dreams. You ever have aha dreams? Back to aha moments. So you know these moments of brilliance and the moments you least expect. When you're not focused on something in particular, in the middle of the night, like we talked about in the shower, when you're relaxing outside, go sit by a tree and just kind of focus on the tree. Watch the tree. Don't try to think about the tree, and don't try to analyze the tree, and don't try to, well, I need to water this tree today. No, just do nothing. So that's what they call the default mode network. And I have to apologize. I don't know what's wrong with me today. Those are the moments of idleness that produce creative ideas, your aha moments. And so, you know, the comment in the article is, don't you want to do that? Don't you want to create more, have more of a creative process in your life? Processes thwart creativity. They were shocked at how much bureaucracy is prevalent when working in a larger company during this particular author, Neurospace Project. It was difficult to do this job, one that required of creative ideas and innovating, as all the processes were working against him. And they talk about Elon Musk brought up the six beliefs in our conversations, but I won't get into that. We're not robots. Processing is like a robot. So as entrepreneurs, everybody can be an entrepreneur at some level of whatever's going on in your life. You just have to kind of chill out. It's the process of chilling out. And, you know, this spirit's yelling at me a little bit here, going, you know, it's important for children not to be always busy, not always to be focusing on television, not always focusing on a project. Just let kids be kids and let them play, because that's when they get their creativity too. Young people don't, you know, like teenagers, you know, I don't think it mentions in this article, but another article talks about young people today who are always project-oriented, process-oriented. eventually they'll come into the place as they get older where they have very limited creativity because they don't take time just to chill out. I think of companies like Google and some other places where they have playrooms and where you can go and just play ping pong, table tennis. You can play some of the other games. You can do things that are just not focused concentration-wise on a project and how that stirs the creativity. So in business world, a lot of people get it. Some people don't, right? Some people don't. And we won't talk about – okay, let me get into one section I think is really important and see if anybody wants to talk to me, but this is what we're talking about today is how idleness can create – but let me do this one thing, and then we're going to be finishing up today. We won't have time for my spirit guys, but we'll talk. They'll talk to you on Monday. Being focused and productive the entire day sets you up from making mistakes. Being focused and productive the entire day sets you up from making mistakes and bad decisions. And the author said, I'm a recovering multitasker. I know many multitaskers, and their whole life is constant speed around of get it done, get it done. The problem is, this is the lack of quality across all of their work. The intended result is destroyed. Okay? So multitasking is actually contrary to what you really want. Because it says here, your brain needs rest. If you're tired, you can't focus. Listen to your body. Your brain is communicating to you what you need to recover. When you try to multitask, what you're actually doing is getting worse at everything you're systematically trying to do. Your brain can't filter out the irreverent information, and you'll fall apart when you try to stretch the system beyond its limits. So that's what happens when you feel frazzled. Like, time to stop. Time to go for a walk. It says, give up and give in. Go for a walk. And talk about meditation, and we're going to talk more about this in the future, a meditation where you go into a quiet place. You're not trying to solve any problems, intentionally trying to solve problems. You're intentionally just trying to relax and let the brain just take time out. So I think guided meditations that have you doing specific things through the meditation can actually be contrary to what you need to accomplish during a nice meditation, which is just tuning in and dropping out. Okay? Dropping out and tuning in. I guess that's the way around. That's the best way to express it. Dropping out and tuning in at the same time. Because then you give the brain a chance to relax, be creative, and also you allow higher consciousness, God, source, spirit, to work with you, to give you solutions, to give you the aha, the creativity that you need to function in whatever you're doing. So that's what the show is about today. And I'm really kind of into this process. I think it's really important. So if I can help you with a meditation, I'd like to offer you that. If I can help you with a meditation, and I think I'll do one for YouTube too, but a meditation that will help you to become more creative, to get into the problem-solving mode. You know, I talk about solution mode. And once you're into this quiet, let's say, idle state, you get into solution mode versus problem mode. Because when you're thinking about a problem and trying to do a task to solve a problem, it takes a long time to solve the problem. But once you get into this idle solution mode, then you're able to solve problems. The aha moments, the ideas come, the flow comes, the universe opens up to you information that you need. Sorry about the today show a little bit. I'm kind of like all a bit off. I don't know why. But maybe my brain's in another gear. I don't know. But I will be back on Monday. Well, I don't know what we'll talk about Monday. I think this is a great subject, though. And we'll let my spirit guides talk to you a little bit more about this topic on Monday. So it's really important to be able to get into this state of creativity and solution problem, solution mode. Think about solution mode. So thank you for listening. Have a beautiful day. Love you guys. And we will talk on Monday. Bye.